The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
For singing, amen. Take your Bible and go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. I realize that we're in the middle, or coming to the middle, of a campaign, Sunday school campaign. I realize that in every campaign, we emphasize not just attendance, we emphasize soul winning. As Brother Wislowski and I will oftentimes shut ourselves up in a room, and he and I will work together on campaigns, and we'll present them, of course, to the staff, and from the staff, of course, to the Sunday school teachers, and from the Sunday school teachers, of course, to the church. And so, and I realize the emphasis in every campaign. Hours out soul winning, a number of people that you witness to, number of people you have opportunity, yea, privilege to lead to Christ, people found the Lord in baptism, and so many other things. Passing out tracts among, of course, our young, and so many ways to be able to get involved in a soul winning church such as ours. But I want us to look at something tonight. Here Paul is speaking to the church at Philippi, and he's saying to the church at Philippi, he's saying, not because I desire a gift. He said, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. One thing I emphasize here at our church over and over here, that we don't have any superstars. We don't have any supermans. We don't have any superwomen. We don't have any super kids. We don't have any Lone Rangers here. We're a church. We're a family. We're a team. When something painful takes place, many times, often, more than not, we all hurt. When something funny takes place, often more than not, we all laugh. But we're a team. Such as Brother O, this morning, there was a dear lady in distress that was sitting right back there where the Ortiz family is sitting tonight, and she was in great distress. And Brother O slipped out of his seat with the aids of others that was surrounding her. And you might have noticed where my last two points were drawn pretty closely to an end there. And I tried to close out in prayer so that the situation could be taken care of. Well, what was that? That was a team in action. That's what that was. Such as when our bus broke down coming from the youth rally just the other night. And 50-some of our teenagers was on that bus, yet having a good spirit. Mrs. Purvis dove in, drove over to rescue the perishing. Picked up those that were on the bus, coming back from a rally, good attitudes, good dispositions, but may I say, very much a team. You know, when we come together, we come together not as somebody that receives all the accolades of praise. We come together to rejoice in all that God does here through the ministries of Parkside Baptist Church. One day, Daniel and Rebecca will leave to go to the mission field. We'll cry as we say goodbye. But yet, when they go, we go with them. Now, why is that? Because we're a team. We're a church family. Never let it be said that we're a family without a heart. Always let it be said at Parkside Baptist Church that we're a family with a heart. Now, with that in mind, let's notice what the Bible says here as Paul is speaking back to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi, a very small church, not a very wealthy church, but yet they had a heart for souls. They had a heart to be able to reach the lost. They had a heart to be able to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. So being, they were about the king's business, the master's charge to reach the world with the gospel. Here we'll see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, as Paul is speaking back to the church at Philippi, he says, not because I desire a gift, he said, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. I believe this. I believe because everybody has a part on a bus route, whether you know that or not, because you remember Parkside Baptist Church, and we're strong advocates of the bus ministry. So when you give money, you have a part of a bus route running because it takes gas, it takes oil, it takes tires. It takes money to be able to purchase a bus. It takes insurance, and everybody has a part. Can I tell you that when somebody passes out a gospel tract, and I remember hearing the story of Kelly and Joy as they went by, now members of our church and very faithful, and I thank God for them. But I remember them going through a car wash, and all of a sudden they saw a tract. Maybe a young person placed it there. Maybe somebody of your age placed it there. But at any rate, there was a gospel tract there, and they saw it, and they thought, if somebody went to the trouble to place a gospel tract here, then maybe we ought to go to the trouble to visit that church and see what it's about. So they came to our church, and of course, God started speaking to their heart, and they believe that this is a place where they ought to find nesting. And since then, they have brought many visitors to church. Now, can I say it's because somebody cared and somebody dropped a gospel tract, and our church has been enriched because God used that. Can I tell you, I cannot begin to explain how many visits I've made in homes, and many of the new members that are new members of this church that I've had the privilege to visit inside of your home before you became a member, and Mrs. Wells and I sat on a sofa, or we sat in a chair, and we talked to you, and you decided by the good grace of God and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that this would be a place that you'd want to raise your family, and you came and you joined this church. Can I say how delighted I am that you made such a choice in your life? But how is it that you can be able to see fruit added to your account? What is it that you and I could do to be able to see fruit added to your account? Let me give you some things to consider. Statement number one, the responsibility we have to reach the world. Now, we as a church have a responsibility and a God-given charge to be able to reach the world with the gospel. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've often said every creature needs a preacher. All right? And so we're supposed to go and we're supposed to proclaim, that's what preachers do, proclaim that which is the gospel of Christ. We're supposed to go and tell a lost and dying world. By the way, ladies, you can proclaim the gospel as a soul winner. This is given a charge. This is a command to the local church. You as a lady, I as a man are given that same charge. We're supposed to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, go ye, therefore, it becomes very personal now, doesn't it? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. And so God has given us a charge to be able to do that. The Catholics still have Jesus hanging on the cross. Those that are Buddhists, the Buddhist God is somebody that cannot hear prayer. Those that are Hindus, perhaps they believe the cow is sacred or the crow is sacred, but they do not understand that the cow or the crow cannot bring salvation. The Hare Krishnas that have the teaching that do not understand the value of heaven and what heaven is all about is off in their doctrine. The Muslims who are telling people to be followers of them, they must be willing to die for their God instead of living for their God, is wrong in their doctrine. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses that are faithful to proclaim the spreading of their heresy tonight, can I tell you, are more faithful in spreading their heresy tonight than those that are gospel believers and gospel teachers and gospel soul winners. Do you realize that over 3 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time? Do you realize that over 4 billion people don't even know what it is to have a Bible in their own language? Do you realize that nearly 6 people die every single second, and out of the 6 people that die every single second, 4 of them go straight to hell, and they have no hope of that which is in eternity with Jesus Christ. I believe the devil would clap his hands as Christians sit on theirs. Yes, sir. Wow. I believe the devil claps his hands while Christians sit on theirs. Do you believe this? I understand this. I believe that most Christians are going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're not going to have any fruit to their account. I believe that God hasn't changed his mind. I believe that God has not retracted his word. I believe that God has not altered the Great Commission. I believe the orders from headquarters is still, you're supposed to go as a church body into the world and proclaim the gospel. So the responsibility to reach the world has not changed. You and I have a God-given responsibility as a local church to be able to go into the utmost of all the world and to give the gospel. Statement number one. Statement number two, the restrictions of time and space are real. The restrictions of time and space are real. You know, if you spent 15 minutes, I'm talking about 15 minutes, a good gospel witness, 15 minutes witnessing to each person nonstop. Now, I'm talking about 24 hours a day. I'm talking about 7 days a week. I'm talking about 52 weeks in the year. And I'm talking about for 70 years, nonstop. And may I say, let me add to the equation, every person that you witness to, 15 minutes, witnessing to everybody you can, every 15 minutes, not eating, not sleeping, not drinking, not resting. And every person that you witness to receives Jesus Christ as Savior, and you do that nonstop for 70 years. At the end of 70 years, you will only have had the privilege to lead 2,452,800 people to Christ. That's it. And that's giving it 70 years of your life nonstop. That's talking about giving it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks in the year, nonstop, no sleeping, no eating, no resting. And can I tell you, only a little over 2 million people receiving Christ as Savior. If you yourself were going to win the world today at the state of the population that the world is this very hour, it would take you and you alone over 200,000 years to win the world to Christ. Now, so we have a limitation. There's restrictions. There's a restriction of that which is time. There's a restriction of that which is space. You and I are not able to be in two places at the same time. You and I are not able to be a missionary to Australia and a missionary to Afghanistan and a missionary, if you would please, to Ireland and a missionary to the Philippines and a missionary to Bangladesh. So we're not able to be missionaries all around. And by the way, that's why I thank God that we're members of a church that believes in missions, that supports missionaries around the world. As we partner with those missionaries, though I cannot be there, I have representation on the field that's getting the job done. Like I'm trying to get the job done here, they're trying to get the job done there, and we partner together. Therefore, I'm representing them here as they're representing me there, and because of that, we're able to multiply our efforts in getting out the gospel. That's why I believe in supporting missionaries. That's why I believe in expanding our missions program, because some little boy, some little girl, some teenager, some man, some woman, somewhere in the world needs the gospel, though you yourself are not able to get there quick enough to be able to give them the gospel before they perish in a devil's fire. So I'm saying tonight, there is the responsibility to reach the world. There's restrictions of time and space, but they are reachable where you are. They are reachable where you are. You know, you can reach people right where you are. There's a way to be able to give the gospel out and to share that gospel right where you are. Now, by the way, it does take God. Somebody said anybody that is self-proclaimed is a self-proclaimed fool. And it's true. You need God to work in and through you. Now, the Bible says over in John chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it says, is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I abide. But it says, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to it very carefully. For without me, ye can do nothing. So God says, now wait a minute, before you get so puffed up. And by the way, did you notice what happens here? Watch what happens. So the Bible says, here's a person that begins to bear fruit. As they begin to bear fruit, here's how God will bless them. As they begin to bear fruit, God blesses them by what? Purging them. Purging them. You know why? Because you take that same man, you take that same woman that's a soul winner, and they're out there and they're constantly giving out the gospel. They're constantly giving out tracts. You know, you take that same man, you take that same woman, and you allow them to stay in the hospital, they're going to be as much of a soul winner in the hospital as they are out of the hospital. See, their character for Christ and their love for Christ doesn't change. Doesn't matter what environment you place them in, they're just as rich on the inside in a poor area as they are on the inside in a rich area. It doesn't change because they realize the gospel is for everybody. All right? And so they're going to be the same caliber of person no matter where you put them. But now watch this. The Bible says that here's that person that doesn't bear fruit, and God says basically what he's going to do is he's going to cut them off. And what's that mean? That means they're going to be cut off from the blessing. From the blessing. Okay? Watch this. Watch this. Here you have Brother Castillo. I'm going to share the rest of the story. Brother Castillo sitting here tonight, faithful man of God. Goes out soul winning, loves God, trying to rear a family for God. All of a sudden, there came a man from North Carolina sitting in their congregation here. He was a businessman, had a business here in Dallas, also in California and other regions around, and God was blessing everything that this man touched. A faithful church member, Brother Chris Cantrell's church, and so I've known Brother Cantrell for a long time, and Brother Cantrell called me up and said, I got a businessman that's going to be coming through Dallas, and he said, just going to let you know he's going to pop up in your service. I said, great. He popped up in the service. I shook his hand. That was about it. Got his name, but I forgot his name. I'm good about that. I'll get your name, forget your name. And so I forgot his name, but lo and behold, I was getting ready to go to the SWORD conference and to be in the SWORD conference, and Brother Cantrell and I have been talking. He said, listen, he said, you're coming to North Carolina. He said, why don't you come preach in my church? So I got that Wednesday night open. I'll come preach in your church. I went and preached in his church. Here comes this businessman walking up. He says, wait a minute. He said, man, I'm trying to stay away from Dallas. He said, you know, I'm traveling all the time. He said, I've got this thriving business, and I just really need somebody to, well, you know, Brother Castillo's been coming to my office, man of prayer. I've been praying, dear God, would you open up a door? Driving an hour and a half one way to work. Spending 3 hours, as much as 3 hours on the road every single day. He said, preacher, he said, I'm praying that God will open a door. I didn't know what his expertise was, and I didn't know what this guy was looking for, but I told that guy in the lobby at Brother Chris Cantrell's church, I think I got somebody for you. At least it's worth checking out. He said, have him to call me. I said, okay. And so I got home, and I forgot. Brother Castillo comes to my office, and he said, preacher, you told me about that guy? He said, and he said, do you have his number? I said, yeah, let me give it to you before I forget again. And so I gave him the number. He called the guy, and God worked that out. You see, even God can use a forgetful preacher when it comes to your behavior and on your behalf. If you stay with God, here's what takes place. God has blessings for you. My Bible still says that God will bless the person who's faithful. The Bible talks about here that there is restrictions of time and space, but yet there's people that are reachable. We have reachable people where we are. You'd be amazed what a gospel tract will do in that which is a car wash or over in a park. You'll be amazed at how God could use you. Just your smile alone sometimes will warm somebody's heart to listen to the gospel rather than listening to the gospel through the means of somebody else. Just because you are who you are, there's people around you. Listen to me. Do you believe that God's going to send a missionary to the people around your household? No, he's got you. He's got you. You're the missionary to the household. You're the missionary to your neighborhood. Have you witnessed to your neighbor? Have you talked to the people across the street? How long have you been living there? Have you talked to people that's behind you in the neighborhood? Do they even know that you're a believer? Hey, you're the missionary to your household. You're the missionary to your neighborhood. You're the missionary to your kinfolk. You're the missionary to your co-worker, you're the missionary to your classmate, you're the missionary to your friends. Listen, I can tell you for sure that if your neighbor dies and goes to hell, it's not going to be the fault of the missionary that's in Africa tonight. If your co-worker dies and goes to hell, it's not going to be the fault of the missionary that's in Mexico tonight. If your cousin goes without Christ, it's not going to be because you can't blame the missionaries that's going to Brazil tonight. Do we understand that the DFW area, that is within our shouting distance, and we have a responsibility, and he's not going to blame the missionaries in Europe if the DFW area is not reached with the gospel. God has placed you here with an awesome responsibility, but can I say that we're supposed to be the ones that rise up and do it? Are you doing your job? Are you going? Are you giving out the gospel? Are you witnessing the people? Do you care about people? Are you reaching others for the gospel, with the gospel of Christ? When you go to the gas station, do they even know that a Christian walked through? When you go out to eat, do they even know that a Christian was in the restaurant? When you are walking down your street, does the neighbors even know that you name the name of Christ and that you're a believer? I'm saying when you go to the doctor, talk to him about Christ. When you go to the dentist, mention Christ. When you go to the chiropractor, mention Christ. When you go to the optometrist, mention Christ. When you're buying a paper, give a gospel tract at least. When you're talking to the mechanic, at least give him a gospel card. I'm saying tonight when an insurance representative comes your way. Take time to be able to share with them the need of Jesus Christ. Don't forget to give to missions to reach those that you cannot reach within your very reach. I'm saying even though you can't see them, souls still die in Africa and souls still perish in the Philippines and people still die in Australia and people are still going to hell in China and people in South America still need somebody to give them the gospel and people in Germany that's walking down a street on this morning in Germany, can I tell you, they still need to hear the name of Christ. If we're going to be soul winners, let's take it serious. If we're going to be Bible believers, let's get real about it. Let's understand that God places people inside of your reach that is now your responsibility. But do they even know that you're a believer? Do they even know that you care? Do they even know that you're a gospel witness? Do they even know that you're somebody that carries the truth of the living God? What about those in the high school? What about those in the secular college? What about those where you do your grocery shopping? What about those that live down the street? What about those that's a gasoline attendant? What about those you play on the sports teams with? What about those that's in the reach of your bus route? I'm saying there's a world out there, but there's a world right outside of your reach that you can reach, that you can give the gospel. What are you doing to make a difference inside your reach? I'm saying tonight that we understand this. We understand that we're a team. We understand we can't reach everybody, Brother Butler. Can't. Even if we could load jets, send everybody we could to every foreign country that exists, couldn't reach them. But here's what we can do. Given the opportunity, we can reach people right around us. And believe it or not, understand it or not, the people that's within your reach has been put there just for you to reach. Nobody else can. Nobody else probably will. I was preaching for Jerry Nobley, pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, Manila, Philippines. First thing I asked him when I got there, I said, I want your gospel tracts. Give me your gospel tracts. Load me for bear. Because I'm going to be going in some restaurants, they'll never see me again. And a Filipino would take a gospel tract from a white boy. Don't stare at me that way. Because he's coming from America. And they would take that gospel track. I said, so give me God. I preached for Ed Lorena. Good friend. Sunday night. Shouting church. About 1,700 in the service that night. Shouting church. Bible preacher. You stand up to preach and they're standing up. They're waving their Bibles before you even say a word. And they're shouting you down. Preach! I told Ed, I said, look, give me some of your gospel tracts while I'm in your neighborhood. He took me out to a burger place, and we ate a Texas burger in the Philippines. I had his gospel tract, had his face on it. That was enough to scare somebody to Jesus, amen? Had his gospel tract, had his face on it. I'm leaving the restaurant and say, hey, look, read this. This is a good brother here. You ought to go to his church. Read this. On the back tells you how to go to heaven. And I didn't have time to sit down with every single person and witness to them. I mean, I was on a tight, tight schedule. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and so, tight schedule. Now, wait a minute, but I'm saying this. I'm saying they're reachable where you are. You're the missionary that God has called to this place. Oh, you may not be here the rest of your life. I know that. You know that. But while you are here, why not give God everything you've got while you're here? One day you may die. One day, one of you girls is going to fall in love with some guy from some foreign land, like North Carolina or South Carolina. You may wind up moving. One day, it might be that God calls you to pastor a church somewhere as a young preacher boy that's attending Lone Star Baptist College. You know, one day, God might have special plans for you to do something other. But what I'm saying, wouldn't it be a shame that while you're here, you didn't give it all you had? Wouldn't that be a shame? Brother Nosa told me something a year and a half ago. I never forgot this. Never forgot this. I hope you always hold to it, but I've never forgotten this. He said, preacher, everybody that's on my bus route is my responsibility in that area. And if I don't reach them, they'll burn in hell. And most of the people that's on my bus route is larger than in most countries, or at least most cities that we know of. Not countries, but cities. He didn't say countries, he said cities. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we ought to have a burden to reach people for Christ. How many people have you told about him this year? How many people have you led to Christ this month? How many gospel tracts have you passed out this week? Somebody wrote a hymn, it said this, must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet the Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. You say, well, I can't reach them all. You can reach one. You can give out one gospel tract. Even a kiddo could do that. I'm saying responsibility to reach the world. Restrictions of time and space. Restrictions, if you would please, of that time and space. You can't go everywhere, but they're reachable where you are. Statement number three. There's the resources of what you have. God's given you good resources. You know, you don't have to apologize for the way our buildings look. Because our people are giving sacrificially to have a nice auditorium just like this. You can invite any caliber of person from any sect of society without apologizing the way the building looks. And they're going to feel comfortable and welcome. It's very inviting. It was structured that way. Now, can I tell you? So what is that? That's a tool. What's it a tool for, preacher? Getting out the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The lights. What's that all about? Getting out the gospel. Now we're live streaming. What is that all about? Getting out the gospel. Amen. Now we put all the videos that we can on the internet, and we put the sermons on the. What is that all about, preacher? Getting out the gospel. Amen. So, preacher, why is it that you do colored tracts rather than just the old black ink on white paper type of tracts? Because it gets people's more attention. What's that all about, preacher? You're just trying to be highfalutin? No, it's called getting out the gospel. Amen. Those that practice singing long and hard. Now, the Watkins family just got up here to sing just a few minutes ago. Can I tell you, they just did not throw that together before church. It took hour upon hour of practice and standing right and holding a microphone right so that they could give Jesus Christ the very best. What is that all about, preacher? Because somebody's going to hear it. Somebody's going to watch it. God could use that for his honor. I'm tired of Christians that do things second class when we've got a first class God, and we ought to give him first class. Hey, I'm for a sacrificing, making things first class. Why? Because I serve a first class God, and he deserves the very best that we could give him. Isn't it funny how we give ourselves the best, but we give God and his church second best? I'm saying tonight this. I'm saying reachable where you are. Then statement number four, I said there's resources that we have. You got a nice church building. Most people would kill, well, at least harm. Well, at least think about it, to have such a church building. You got air conditioning that works. You got padded pews that sit well. And if you wind up sitting in the same place all the time, it's got memory foam. It concords to your body. Amen. Some people might change seating and say, oh, I feel uncomfortable sitting here. It's because that's not normally where you sit. It's already been conformed. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, hey, there's resources. Gospel tracts, buses with gas in them, and insurance for safety. Hey, I'm saying, hey, God's been good to us. You realize, God, hey, we got a choir that sings, and they sound good. I've heard choirs sing, and they don't sound good. We got people, hey, I'm saying, God's been good to us. Hey, look around. There's nothing you can complain about unless you're a complainer and you want to complain. But you'll do that no matter where you go. I'm saying this tonight. There's resources that God has given us. Over in Acts chapter 11 and verse 27, the Bible says, and in these days, it says, came the prophets, it says, from Jerusalem to Antioch. The Bible says, and they stood up, one, it says, and were amazed. And of course, they're talking about the name that was mentioned, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 29, the Bible says, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwell in Judea. Now, wait a minute. Why are they doing this? They're doing this so that the gospel can, there's resources there that they were sending. They were making sure that they were underwritten. I don't want our missionaries to suffer. That's why I believe that once we make a commitment, until next year's faith promise commitment, we ought to keep the commitment that we made. Amen. I believe a person, if you make a commitment, you ought to do your best. You say, well, I don't have the finances right now. Go mow a lawn. Go hang a tree. Or cut a tree. Go sell newspaper. Go sell Diet Coke to heavy people. I'm saying do whatever you need to do in order to get funds coming in to support the gospel. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's the responsibility to reach the world. There's restrictions. We have time. We have space. There's a reachability. You can reach those where you are. There's resources. God's been good to us, and he's given us resources. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come shortly. Then the Bible says here that he ministered to my wants. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. The Bible talks about how in Philippians chapter, listen to it if you will, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 30, the Bible says, because the work of Christ was nigh unto death, listen to it, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. He said, man, I just want you to know that you didn't lack any service. You didn't disregard his death. You didn't do that. Man, you were just right on. And by the way, small church, struggling church, but they gave. They did what they were supposed to do. They had the resources, and they used their resources. You say, preacher, I don't have much. And sometimes I just tell you, well, maybe supporting a missionary with a little bit of funds that week could maybe be sacrificed by not drinking a Starbucks. you know, maybe we could maybe kind of hold back, and instead of getting the Big Mac at McDonald's, you could go with a value meal. Maybe instead of ordering the whole pizza and you eat the whole thing, maybe reduce and eat a slice or two. Maybe you could reduce your texting and take it from 5,000 texts a month down to 2,500 a month. Maybe you could get rid of the outside cable that you sit in front of and stare, and it wastes your entire life. Maybe you could pick up a book and open it up, and the book looks at you in shock, saying, "You're going to read me? I've been sitting on the shelf for years wanting somebody to touch me like you. And now you're going to read me?" Maybe your Bible feels the same way. You know, you can always tell when you hit people at Parkside. You just can't, you can't control yourself. You know, when you're saying, "Whoa," when you're saying, "Amen," you're saying, "Ouch, ouch, ouch, you got me. Oh, stop it." Okay. Here's what we understand. We understand we have a responsibility to reach the world. I can't go everywhere. I go to the Philippines 3 or 4 times a year, or I'm out of the country 3 or 4 times a year. Now, let me tell you what. It wears me out. I mean, I'm beat when I get back. My energy level has found a new low. So why do you do it? Because somebody, I believe, and God has commissioned and yea called me to train some pastors around the world so they can train some soul winners that would get the job done. Amen. Now, by the way, I think we all have a call to train somebody. Sure. You know, some dear people in this room, and I love you, but I'm being very fair, I'm being very honest, but I'm reading your mail. Some dear people in this room would love to go soul winning if somebody else just cared enough to invite them. You realize there's different types of people in this room? Do you realize that? You realize all of us were born different? Come on, we were. Some were born with this dynamic, "Woo!" They will shout amen at something they should not shout amen about. But they just get beside themselves. When they're coming up telling you a story, you can't understand half the story because they're bouncing up and down so much trying to get it out. Yeah, that's the way some people are. You know, other people, you know, they're mild, they're calm. It would take a bomb to get them to get excited. I mean, you know, they need to be walking around with an IV that says energy all the time. I'm not downing either one of those. I'm saying this, we're all made different. Amen. We are. You know, I pastor people here and I pastor people in Tennessee. They will never say amen. They won't. They'll nod their head. That's it. I pastor other people and say, "Man, we're supposed to be soul winners. That's what we're supposed to do. Somebody say amen." And somebody will say amen. That was one of the secretaries. We have the resources. Statement last. I'm done. Here we go. The results where you cannot go. Here's what the Bible says. As a man soweth, that says soweth that, whatever he's sowing, that shall he also reap. I've been out door knocking, soul winning, all of a sudden lead nobody to Christ, come back feeling really bad, and all of a sudden 3 visitors show up the next day. Said, "You talked to me 3 months ago, and I remember you." We have a dear man and a dear lady that comes to our church quite often. I met them over at Brahms. I was just walking out, said, hey, look, you ever think about coming to a good church? Here's one. Here's a good church. Hope to see you one day. Walked off. We had a college kid out soul winning in the neighborhood over here. Man was walking in the backyard, just got laid off. Last name was Parks. Parks. He's walking in the backyard. Here's what he said. He gave me his testimony. He said, that day I was walking in the backyard, and he said, dear God, I want to believe in you, and I want to believe you're going to stop me. But if you don't stop me, when I go in that house, I'm committing suicide. It's over. I've tried. It's over. Two college-age young people or so came knocking at the door. He or his daughter came to the door. I forget who exactly it was. But when they gave him the track, we're Parkside Baptist Church. His last name was, what did I say it was? Parks. Thank you for helping me with my sermon. They had their finger over the IDE. Handed him the track. He said, this must be of God. It's got my name on the track. Must be of God. Took it, read it, bowed his heart. Received Christ. Amen. Now he works for a bee farm out in the West somewhere. But he's alive. Amen. Amen. He's going to go to heaven. Amen. No matter how many bees sting him. That's the goodness of God. Amen. Josh was out soul winning one time. Never forget, we were in Louisiana. He's knocking on the door. He heard something on the inside. Somebody stirred. Knew somebody was in there. So he just kept knocking. They didn't answer, so he knocked louder. Person came to the door. Later on, we found out they were in the bedroom getting ready to commit suicide, but stopped because of the aggressive, hard knock. Say, what is that? That's God. Never know the result. Amen. Just never know the result. Amen. I'm saying this, and I'm done. Here it is. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. See, we have that which is responsibility. We got restrictions. They are reachable. We do have good resources, but let me tell you, we need, let me give it to you last, recruits to get the results. It's got to be recruits. We have to decide that, and by the way, listen to me, when the church sends forth a labor, the church has fruit added to their account. You're part of the church. That means whenever somebody gets saved through the ministries of Parkside Baptist Church, that's fruit added to your account. Amen. Yes, sir. You say, well, I didn't go. Just because you're a member, I believe it's fruit added to your account. Because we're a church. We're a church. Amen. But wouldn't it be good to do your part? Amen. Wouldn't it be good to reach somebody like you should reach somebody with the gospel? See, when a bus captain helps to send forth a labor, then the bus captain gets the fruit to their account. When the Christian school helps to send forth a labor, then the Christian school teacher, if you will, gets the fruit added to their account. When the youth director helps to send forth the labors in the teen department, then the youth director gets the fruit added to his account. When the mother or father sends forth the labors as parents among their own offspring, then they get the fruit added to their account. When the Sunday school teacher, if you will, prepares a young person and they go into the harvest field, then they get the fruit added to their account. When the bus captain, not just being a bus captain, there's more to it. There's more to putting a bunch of kids on your bus, bringing them in so that you can say, I had 42. More to it. You're supposed to disciple them. You're supposed to train them. You're not just supposed to say, well, I'll tell you what. Boy, I'll tell you what. I did it. Well, wait a minute. How about helping them to be able to reach their friends? So when a bus captain trains his young men and young ladies on the bus route how to be soul winners, it's fruit added to his or her account. When the youth workers, then it's added to their account. When the staff members, then it's added to their account. I'm saying recruit people. Amen. Recruit people. You realize this. You realize what God could do through your young person that's having trouble right now if they'd simply put their eyes on God the way they should. If a young person would simply put their eyes on God the way they should, it transforms their life. Come on. One of my brothers, we were sitting some time, and he said, I'm not going to tell you which one of my brothers it was, but we were sitting some time. He said, Mike, he said, I have these suicidal thoughts. He said, I've tried to commit suicide 3 times in my life. He says, you ever done that? I said, no. He said, why is it that I'm having trouble with it? You never did. And I said, because we have different people in our life. The Lord Jesus Christ has made the difference in my life. The preachers from the pulpit has made the difference in my life. That's why the Bible says, who have hindered you? You know, I told my brother, I said, look, you got rock music in your life. You got wrong heroes in your life. It's down, 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 struggle, struggle, pull down, all these satanic thoughts come into your life day after day after day after day. Son, I'm surprised that you haven't done what you talked about. You need to get the right people in your life. Starting number one, Jesus Christ. Come on. Get in your Bible and let God speak to you. Let God change your life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. Let God do the work there. The washing of the word. Let God cleanse you. Let God work with you. Somebody said the other day, wish we had church every day. I said, I understand that, but you do have a Bible. You look, there's nothing that would ever replace preaching. Amen. Amen. By the way, listen to me. Even if you preach to yourself, you wouldn't be fair. Because you'd always be naming your sister's sin and not yours. But when the preacher gets up, I don't know what you've been doing this week. I have no idea. Say, preacher, you're stomping on me, you're stomping on me, you're stomping on me, you're stomping on me, you're stomping on me. Well, it might be because you'd be in the way. I mean, my sermon does not have your name written at the top. Hit him here. Smash her here. Pound them there. But there is a Holy Ghost. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll take a general truth and give it specific application. That's what he does. That's his job. So you come in and you hear preaching and it's pushed out there in a general way and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit identifies you and he makes it specific to your cause. That's called God's love. Because he's trying to help you as an individual. Come on, that's the way he is. That's the way he is. Jared and Debbie are married. They have embarked upon a new horizon. They'd never been married to each other before. Not to my knowledge. He has lived as our son. Debbie has lived as the daughter of brother and Mrs. Hermance. Now they've come together and they are one. And if you watch them, it's hard to tell that if they'll ever get apart. It's like Travis and Jay Sheree. Yeah. Every time I see Travis and Jay Sheree, yeah. I mean, you know, and she's looking up. Yeah. You know, and he's looking down. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying some of you old-timers need to watch them. But now, wait a minute. Every marriage relationship goes through hard times. Remember, we got married, I think it was 1 week after we got married, and our pastor asked us on that Sunday night, you remember this? 1,500 people there that night. He said, I want to know something. Had you have your first fight yet? You had to stand. 1,500 people in attendance that night, Sunday night. Have you had your first fight yet? We said, no, sir. He said, you will. Sit down. But can I tell you, listen to me. What keeps the marriage sweet? Amen. You just keep working. Amen. Sure it is. Good, sure it is. Never will forget, got married. I said this Sunday before I left. Mrs. Wells wasn't here. She's in North Carolina. I'm brave now because I've landed back in the U.S. I never forget. Got married, and I took my outward shirt off, had a T-shirt. Missed. Walked away. My dear wife said, what do you think you're doing? So I'm walking, I'm going to kitchen, eat food, man stuff. She said, your shirt is on the floor. I said, yeah, I know, I missed. She said, aren't you going to pick it up? I said, later. She said, not now? I said, no, later. She said, no, how about now? And I said, yes, ma'am. You know, you have to work on marriages. It's the give and the take. Yeah, it is. It is. You have to be kind, affectionate towards one another. Come on. Look, okay, I'm in the marriage now. I'm almost done. Has nothing to do with my sermon. Driving down the road. All of a sudden, your husband puts his hand on that middle thing there. That's a hint. It means he wants your hand on his hand. It's a hint. Take the hint. He's not trying to steal something out of your purse. It's a hint. Now, what are you doing? Here's what you're doing. You're doing things in your marriage to keep it where it should be. Now, I'm done. Here it is. Church application. If we want our church to be all that it should be, we have to do things. Right. Might not enjoy all the things we do. Right. Come on, I remember when I first started passing out tracts many years ago. I was so scared. I was so conscientious. And what if they say no? What if they slam the door? What if they say, dog, sick 'em? What if they say, grandma, get the gun? What if they say, little kid, bite the knee? All these things, you know. But then it got to the place where it said, who cares? If I'm going to get shot by a grandma that doesn't know how to aim a gun anyway, it's all right. She shoots the gun. You got to jump in front of it and say, hit me. You say, preacher, too much humor tonight. Yeah, it's because I'm looking at your face. I didn't mean that as a slam. I said, I wish he would have stayed in the Philippines. I didn't mean that, really. What I'm saying is, the Christian life can't be fun. You make it exciting. If we just be very serious with Christ, Christ could use us in a real way. And that's on live stream. Father bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.